You have your Bibles this morning. I would invite you to turn with us first to Luke chapter number 8, and then find your place in John chapter 20. Luke chapter 8. And then put a marker in John chapter 20. John or Luke chapter 8 is where we'll begin. Luke chapter 8. And I direct your attention there to verses 1 through 3. Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And the Bible says this: "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." And then flip over there, if you would, John chapter 20. Gospel of John chapter 20. And verses 15 and 16. John's Gospel, verses chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. And the Bible has recorded for us these words: "Jesus saith unto her," this of course being Mary Magdalene, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you on this very simple thought: the sound of a familiar voice. The sound of a familiar voice. Now, each of us here this morning can probably recall moments or experiences or times when the sound of a familiar voice was an especially meaningful experience. The sound of a familiar voice that no doubt brings comfort, joy, happiness, feelings of warmth and safety, and so on and so forth. It might have been a long distance call from someone special, the voice of an old friend in a crowd of strangers. Maybe it's a recording of a son or a daughter that's away from home. Sometime, if you haven't, talked to Brother Kenny years ago, I guess it is now. Miss Rose had an accident with her car that it caught on fire, and she calls Brother Kenny and just to tell him, you know, she kind of was freaking out, but told him, "No, I'm okay." And well, Brother Kenny still has that voicemail. Now, I don't know if that brings him joy or comfort to listen to that, other than know that Miss Rose was all right at that time. But, you know, maybe there's something like that that just brings you that comfort or that peace. It's maybe a recording from that son or daughter far from home, the words of assurance following surgery. The doctor comes in and says, "You did all right. You pulled through all right." Or maybe someone you're waiting for in surgery, and the doctor comes out and tells you that they did just fine. And, you know, really this morning, the sound of a familiar voice is a powerful medicine. And I doubt if any of us has experienced the feeling that Mary Magdalene had when she heard the familiar voice of Jesus here in the garden of his burial. Now, we know from accounts here that this was not their first encounter. Jesus had spoken important words to her in the past, and we see here he still speaks and waits for us to hear and respond. And there's several things I want us to see here from both Luke chapter 8 and John chapter number 20. The first thing I want us to see and draw our attention to is the word of conversion. The word of conversion. And we see that these ladies in Luke chapter 2, they had lives in need of change. They had lives in need of change. Luke chapter 8 and verse 2 again, the Bible says, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." And so we see here, Mary first heard the Lord Jesus speak the words of conversion. And this woman who was possessed by evil had lived a life of torment. She had lived a life of suffering. And tradition tells us that she was most likely a streetwalker. She was most likely a woman of the night. She was most likely a prostitute. And that label may have fixed itself on her because of she came from a very an extremely wicked town. And so that label may have stuck with her because of the place and from which she came. And the people, they knew Mary. And they had seen just how the devil had used her, just how the devil had captivated her, made her a public shame. Now I wonder this morning what happened at that first meeting between Mary and Jesus. The divine, sinless Son of God face to face with a demon-possessed woman. Did she cry out in scorn at Jesus as others had done? Did she cower in fear in a dark corner, afraid of his power? But I'm here to tell us this morning the circumstances do not matter. Because what is significant is that this woman, so desperately in need of transformation, met the Master. And when you meet the Master, when you meet Jesus, can I just say your life can never be the same. Your life will never be the same. And this woman here, she met the Master. There's an old Gaither song, "Since Jesus Passed By." And when Jesus passes by, there's just something special that happens when he passes over a life and makes a life brand new. And that's what he did for Mary. And Mary here, she heard the words of conversion, "Be whole." Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe your life is in need of change. Maybe you're here this morning, and does some evil kind of spirit possess you? Maybe the spirit of selfishness. Maybe the spirit of fear. Maybe the spirit of hate. But whatever possesses you this morning, you can bring it to an altar. You can bring it to the cross. You can lay it at the cross. You can lay it at his feet and just leave it there with him, and he will take care of it. He will take away whatever it is that possesses you here this morning. An anonymous poet once expressed our longings by writing this. He said, "Oh, I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our sins could be laid aside like a shabby old coat and never be put on again." Well, folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, there is such a place. And that place is called Calvary. That place where you meet Jesus. And it's in that place that he can change your life, just as he changed the life of Mary Magdalene this morning. And so we see a life in need of change. But then, secondly, we see the power of resurrection. We see the power of resurrection. And it's very significant that Mary was the first person to see the risen Lord. It's very significant. You see, she had one of the more dramatic conversion experiences. And God is telling us something here about resurrection and conversion, and that is without Christ's resurrection, there can be no conversion. There can be no salvation. Paul wrote to the Philippians of his desire, Philippians 3:10, the Bible says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And in fact, take your Bibles. It's not on the screen this morning, but turn over, if you would, 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. And notice there, if you would, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12. The Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now here's what happened or happens if Christ be not risen this morning. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain or empty, and your faith is also vain or empty. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith again is vain. And here it is, ye are yet in your sins. And so if there be no resurrection this morning, there's no conversion. If there be no resurrection, there's no salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And then notice what it says here. Verse number 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. In other words, this morning, if it's only in this life, we have hope of Jesus. In other words, if there is really no Jesus after death, if there is no heaven, then what are we really looking forward to? Jacob, pay attention, buddy. If there is no resurrection, what do we really have to look forward to? But then I want you to notice verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Think a minute this morning of just how much hangs on those two little words. But now. Yes, Paul here, he's playing devil's advocate. Well, if Christ be not risen, well, here's what happens. But you know what? We don't have to worry about those things because Christ is risen. Christ is alive. He does and did rise from the grave. And the resurrection power is what changes people. You see, a dead Christ, he can't change anybody. Again, Paul told the Corinthians here, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. You see, this morning it was the power of sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. But it was the power of God that raised him from that grave. And it's that same power this morning that continues to work. And if this morning, if you'll just repent of your sin, if you'll trust Jesus, if you'll put your faith and your trust in him, then his power will change you today. Now that doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything comes up rainbow and sunshines and unicorns and, you know, all the rest, and all of a sudden life gets automatically easier and that you don't have struggles with sin and all that anymore. No, there's no such thing as sinless perfection, but with his help and his power, we can sin less and we can be what he'd have us to be. And we see that here, the power of resurrection. But then we see, secondly, this morning, the word of appreciation. The word of appreciation. And here we find that after her conversion, Mary Magdalene began to get involved in ministry. And she assumed a place of service in the disciples' band. She and several others traveled with Jesus and the disciples and were helping them with their own substance. Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance." In other words, they took what they had, their own personal possessions and money, and they ministered unto Christ. Now, we're not told of the nature of Mary's ministry. We don't know necessarily what she did to minister to Jesus and the disciples. She might have washed their clothes, helped prepare food, provided funds for needs in the group. But we don't know what it is she did. All we know is that after she got saved, she was saved to serve. And that's exactly what she did. And her ministry was a result of the love she had received from Christ. And conversion should result in committed service. When he saves us, we should want to live for him. We should want to serve him. We should want to do whatever it is that we possibly can do for him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so we see that she was involved in ministry, but then secondly, we see there was an appreciation for service. I wonder this morning how often Jesus must have said to Mary, "Thank you, Mary." She frequently heard the word of appreciation for her service. And if the Lord said it to Mary, one day he's going to say it to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You wonder this morning if the Lord noticed the widow's small copper coin and offered praise for her faithfulness. He notices what we do for his service this morning. You know, sometimes I believe in Christian service, we think, you know, nobody sees what we do. And oftentimes what we do, it may go unnoticed by other people. It may go unnoticed by people in the church. It may go unnoticed by the pastor or the deacons or the Sunday school teachers or the church members or whatever the case may be. But can I just encourage you this morning, it never goes unnoticed by God. God knows exactly what it is you do for him. He knows exactly what it is you do for his service. And by the way, that's who we do it for anyway. We don't do it for the pastor, the deacons, or the Sunday school teacher, or the church members. We don't do it for the pat on the back or whatever the case may be. We do it for God and God alone. And he sees and he knows and notices what we do. And he appreciates our ministry, whether it's great or whether it's small. You know, sometimes you might hear the elderly and the homebound and the home and the shut-ins and those who, you know, they deal with sickness and illness and different things. And they, you know, sometimes they might have feelings of being forgotten or underappreciated. By the way, that's why we, every now and again, I come to Martha and say, you know, let's send a card to this person or let's send a card to that person. She's kind of taken that now and she's run with it. To the point now she comes in with 20 cards some weeks. And I mean, just to get into the church, you got to sign your life away, it seems. And it takes you 20 minutes to get from the entrance into your pew to because you got to sign all these cards. But you know what? That's a ministry. And, some of these folks that are shut in and sick, and they can't be here, but they want to be here. But you know what? They get a card in the mail. And you know what that tells them? Hey, I'm not forgotten. I am remembered. They do remember me. They do care. They do love me. I gave some of my best years to that church. And do they remember me? Do they even care? Well, then here comes a card in the mail that says, you know what? Hey, we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. And, you don't know what that could do for somebody. To encourage somebody. They faithfully served in the past, but now are no longer able. Some of them may be forgotten by the church, but can I just say, the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers, and the Lord knows. He appreciates every labor, and in eternity they will hear his word of appreciation. Matthew 25:21, the Bible says, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And so this morning we see the word of conversion. We see the word of appreciation. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the word of commission. We see the word of commission. The third word Jesus spoke to Mary was a word of commission. That word of commission was simply to go and tell. To go and tell. You see, when Jesus spoke her name, Mary realized who he was and embraced him in adoration. But here's what Jesus said. John 20:17. The Bible says, "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and unto your Father and to my God and your God." You see, it wasn't a time of worship. The resurrection is not a doctrine to, you know, hold on to selfishly, but an experience to share selflessly. You see, we're not to hold on to it, but we're to give it away. And Mary Magdalene obviously understood that, because in the very next verse, verse number 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. A newspaper had this interesting editorial about Easter, in which they said, "Easter is usually a quiet occasion. Millions of Americans make a special effort to go to church on Easter Sunday. Easter is a wholesome kind of holiday. It gives us all an opportunity to recuperate in a small measure from the harassments of daily life." You know, I don't agree with that statement, because that was not what the Lord intended. You see, the resurrection of it's the foundation to actually not get away from the harassments of life, but to enter the harassments of life and to, Lord willing, change the world. You know, it's ironic that for Christians, Easter events usually take place where? Bless you. Inside of the church building, right? A lot of the Easter events and resurrection events take place inside of the church building. We dress up, we go to church where we enjoy the programs, the flowers, the decoration. But Jesus said that the big event, the resurrection, should actually be outside of the church. Go and tell, he said. Hey, when's the last time we went and told somebody that he lives? When's the last time we went and told somebody that he could change their life? That's what we're to be doing. We're to be going and telling what he can do. And so we see here that every disciple should be telling. Mary's commission illustrates the Lord's desire to use every disciple to share the resurrection news. The Lord's appearance to Mary, a woman with a scandalous past, sent a shock throughout the disciples. The 11 disciples probably thought that Jesus should have appeared to them first. Isn't that just like Jesus? To use the person others would consider unworthy. Just like Jesus, to consider the person others would consider unlikely. The ingredient that makes the difference is love. And guess what? It doesn't matter who you are this morning, but if you know him as your Savior, he'll use any one of us to tell other people the good news. He'll use any one of us to tell other people that Jesus can save. It doesn't matter your past. It's what your present is now and what your future is going to be if you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, Jesus still speaks. His voice can be heard today. The question is for us, is simple. Are you listening? He says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Very simple this morning. He lives. He's calling. Hear him today. Listen and let him in. And then go and tell others that he lives and can change their life as well. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.